Damn. You know, I want to be snapping during this, but the thumb is injured, and Godot, as we found out, is is rhythmically.
As we found out, I believe we knew that for years.
Well, okay, let's say I got empirical for everyone. All okay, right. Got empirical for everyone. This is Penn Jillette on the big free FM CBS radio. 866-570-PEN 7366. And you might as well start dialing that right into your phone right now, because you're going to want to get on the air. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you don't have letters on your phone. 866-570-PEN. That's PEN with two N's, just like in PENradio@gmail.com, where you can write your Gmails, and PENradio.com. Because today, it's going to be Ask Layperson PEN. Whenever, you know, the thing is that they had this huge party at the house because Nancy's coming in to take over. I call her Nancy because her last name scares me.
Pelosi? Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi's coming in. And they had the dead there. They had, you know, the remaining members, the non-dead.
The non-dead dead. The undead.
The living dead. The living dead. They're singing Trucking. And Tony Bennett singing Left My Heart in San Francisco. And the Democrats are opening up the government to the regular people, which is why this was $1,000 a plate with heavy security. But they're in. And I was going to talk a lot about, you know, woman president or atheist president, or what we could get, Mormon. But I decided that Ask Layperson PEN would be better. Just call up. Here's what it is. I don't know anything. I finished high school on a plea bargain. I attended Clown College. I have no credentials whatsoever, but you can call me and I will answer any question you give me. Personal question, personal problems, call up. We'll do our best to solve it.
Mostly clown makeup questions, really. Those are the ones you're qualified to handle.
Although I was in remedial makeup at Clown College. For those of you who don't know, Michael Godot and I both went to Clown College.
That's right.
Were you good at makeup?
Oh, yeah.
And you also had, you had like a tramp character, right?
No, I had a white face at first.
White face?
When I was to come out of Ringley, I was a white face, yeah.
I was white face. So then the white face was too hard to put on?
No, it's actually the fastest. It takes no time.
But didn't you end up with like a...
Yeah, I ended up
Emmett
with that.
Kelly
yeah. Somewhat, yes.
Yeah. Wasn't it like that? I mean,
I just quit shaving. It grows right through the white.
I tell everybody the story that you didn't want to tell on the air about you having sex and clown makeup. But it's the one that you thought may make your wife upset. We'll have a talk someday off the air.
All right.
And you'll tell me all the details of the story, and I'll tell it as over me.
When I'm on vacation sometime.
No, just as over me. I'll just tell it first person. There's a couple of stories that I've had that people have given me permission to tell first person.
Okay.
So I might do like the spoon bending story. Which did I ever tell that on the
air? You have not told the spoon bender story.
I really haven't?
You have not.
I would tell we'll get calls today, though. 866-570-PEN. The thumb still hurts like a bastard. Remember you said it was going to sting for a little while?
Yep.
It's now been 24 hours. It's stinging like a bastard.
How long has the universe been in existence?
Okay, that's a little bit of time.
Thousands of years would still be a blip.
I guess I'll open up this bad boy, let the air get to it. The show went fairly well, although let me tell you, there's a lot of pressure on the thumb when you're playing the upright bass. You know, a lot of pressure on the thumb. That's what I discovered, and that hurt like a bastard. And then when I'm handling little things on stage, like the bullet and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to show the bullet, and there's this big, like, you know, what is the word? POTUS? Is that the word?
POTUS?
Is there a word for ow?
Spot of blood.
Oh, there you go. That's not bad.
See, the crazy glue worked, didn't it?
Well, no. there's no evidence of that at all.
I think it's pretty sophisticated that you allowed a rival juggler to glue your thumb.
Sure. I'm sure. We've been around.
I could have ended your career right there.
Yeah, looking pretty good.
It's not leaking anymore.
I'm just going to let it hang out. We have a bio. We now got into the studio, which I think was a very wise idea. We now have biohazard trash here, which is, I think, important. I'll open it up here and safe in the biohazard. So I'll answer any question you got. So I got through the show. I got through the whole show without it. I filled it in with crazy glue.
Right.
Like it was liquid wood
plaster,
or something.
Yeah.
I plastered it up. And then I covered it with a Band-Aid. I got through the whole show with no problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the show, when I was eating my dinner after the show, it was bleeding like a bastard. I had to put three Band-Aids on. I kept them on overnight. But now it's pretty good.
What were you eating?
I was eating a piece of salmon.
Okay.
Some green beans and a baked potato, if you must know.
Well, you know,
that's good.
I thought it might
have caused this. Boys, that's good radio. That's good. When you talk about what you ate, that's good radio, boys. You know, we want to be the shock jock kind. You know,
I forgot good. We were doing a show. We were just chatting.
We were just chatting. Yeah. But we are doing a show, Godot.
Well, then why don't we take a question?
Okay, good idea.
A layperson pen question.
Layperson. Okay, let's go with Eric. How you doing, Eric? You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Penn, Dr. Godot. How you guys doing?
We're actually lay people, but go ahead.
Well, I had a question for you guys. My fiance and I are getting married in October,
okay. And
I was hoping to get your advice on finding a non-religious officiant to marry us.
Oh, but what state are you in?
Nevada. I'm actually right here in Vegas with you.
Okay, well, in Nevada, what we did was, I got to find out how much of a nut you are. That's important. Because the kind of nut I would like to be would want it to be an actual atheist officiating. But when we got down to going through the prenups and, you know, we were having a child, we wanted all the legal stuff out of the way, we settled for going to a chapel, which is already going to make you angry, but the Las Vegas wedding chapel here, what is it called?
Viva Las Vegas,
where they have Elvis and stuff, because we thought they didn't take it seriously. What we told the officiating person was that there could be no references to God whatsoever, and he kept to that, and it was fine. But for us, our vows were all personal, and what he said to us really didn't mean very much. How about you, Godot? You went through a drive-thru.
Yeah, I went through a drive-thru, which was, I thought, pretty good. That seemed as irreverent as you could be.
My girlfriend might be a little bit less interested in the drive-thru wedding, or at least her parents would be.
Well, so you're going to do a big wedding, is that right?
Not a real big wedding, but, you know, somewhat traditional.
Well, you know, yeah,
how many people?
Between 75 and 100.
Okay,
that's a big one.
That gives us a good vision.
You know what I did? We got married officially at the drive-thru, and then had a friend of ours perform the ceremony at our actual wedding. A rock climber friend of ours, no religion, nothing, just a friend. Get up and say, "Do you want to marry her? You want to marry him?" You know, wrote vows.
Where do you have your? Where are you having your wedding? Have you engaged a facility yet?
We haven't set anything in stone. We were thinking about doing it at the Anthem Center here in Henderson. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Tell me about the Anthem Center.
You know where like Sun City Anthem is?
Northern
Henderson. They have a facility that they do there that's it's really pretty. It's got an overview of the city and outdoors.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think your best bet is to find someone. You live in Vegas and you're getting married in Vegas. That makes it easy. Find someone that you really respect and really, really like, and who shares the philosophies that you and your fiancé share, and have it be a good friend, have them take the time to be the deputy in charge of civil marriages, and then do it that way. I did this for some friends of mine in California, and I had for 24 hours the complete power of marriages. So you don't have to do the jive thing of getting married one place and then faking it another place. It can actually be real, but it's someone you trust. Or the other possibility is, Eric, you could be like Tiny Tim and you could come and get married on the Penn Jillette show here.
You know, that was one thing I actually proposed to my fiance.
She did not go for that.
You know what? Penn could marry us and that would be just fabulous. And no offense at all, I think you guys are great, but my my aunt absolutely hates you.
Sure.
Well, so I'm pretty sure at least a good portion of my family wouldn't show up for that.
That is one of the lines we wanted to use in the big billboard ads. I was going to say Penn and Teller, Vegas, the Rio. Even though your aunt can't stand us. That was going to be one of the big advertising things. But what I mean is find someone, you know, my friends Colin and Nell, I've been good friends of theirs for years and years and years. We share the same philosophy. And they just, you know, it's going to cost you or your friend. Maybe you have it be a wedding present because it'll cost him or her a lot of time and effort. But have them go and become that. Someone that you know the tone is right. Someone clean cut that your Auntie Griselda would really enjoy. How about that for a reference, huh? That your Auntie Griselda would really enjoy the company of, and who'll be willing to dress up and who won't make any jokes that you don't think are appropriate or anything like that, and have it done. I just don't think if it's going to be 75 people, 100 people, and it's going to be important, and you're going to the Anthem Center, and you're not making jive out of it, and, you know, doing the drive-through or what we do, Viva Las Vegas, if you want to do that kind of thing, then I don't think you can set sail with that biggest ship with somebody that you don't know and love and trust in charge. So right. I don't know the actual legality. Someone may call in with this, but we need to know, find out what needs to be done in Vegas. I'm sure it's not much because all those Elvises can perform that. And find somebody that you really, you have a friend that you both look up to, don't you?
Well, we're kind of new to the area, so not really, at least not that lives here. Maybe from, you know, back east.
Yeah, well, that would be okay. The hard part about that is I imagine he or she would have to come in a week early or something to get the paperwork and so on out of the way. And maybe they'd have to be a resident. I don't know. But you've got a little while. You're going to meet people. If you are, there is an atheist community here in town. Go to a couple of the meetings, meet somebody, and someone that you think has a nice, strong voice and a nice character. And or find someone in town that, you know, it's very flattering to be asked to being that important a thing. So you should be able to find someone that'll do a really good job for you. But I don't think there's a way you can open the Yellow Pages. And the interesting thing was, I haven't checked this in Las Vegas, but the interesting thing was in Los Angeles, California, my friends Nell and Colin could not find one person who officiated services for marriage in L.A. that was an atheist. And they went beyond that for all of California and could find no one. So the chances of you looking through the Yellow Pages doing a search on the web for atheist marriages, which we haven't done. Why don't we do that? Atheist marriages in Las Vegas. Have you tried this?
We got a new career.
have you tried this yet, Eric?
I poked around a little bit. I didn't find anything that was you know, terribly useful, but I haven't researched it at length or anything.
Yeah, well, I think I'm really going to go. I'm really going to go with a friend. Yeah, there's nothing here. All you get is people arguing about gay marriage and atheist marriage and stuff. But that's what I suggest you do, Eric. And really, more than anything, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, man. Bye.
Thanks.
Man, I wanted to just be able to tell him, you know, go to, you know, Bill Jenkins. He's the guy for this. But it really is tough. It's a tough issue.
Well, like I said, you've come up with a business plan for someone.
Yeah. Now that, you know, we're getting non-religious people or 20% of the population or so. But I bet any Elvis, you know, any Elvis in town would be willing to, that's okay, I don't believe in God that much anyway. You know, I'm Elvis. You like that, Elvis?
That's pretty good.
The sneer was there, everything. But you might get that. We got another call. This is Ask Layperson Penn. We're going to just have it. Any question you want to ask today, any question at all, Godot and I will tackle it. 866-570-PEN, 7366. If you just want to, you know, get a conversation going on any subject, 866-570-PEN, 7366. You can use this as kind of a soapbox, but try to form it as a question. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Let's talk to Shane. What's up, Shane?
Hey, Penn, is this Dr. Penn?
Actually, it's Layperson Penn, but it's close enough. Go ahead, Jane.
Hey, I just want to say I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to actually be down there in a couple of weeks for the amazing meeting. I'm really excited about that.
So we know everything about you, yeah. Yeah, the amazing meeting
you
is...
You want to perform a wedding?
Is the 18th to 21st of the Riviera. If you're a strong skeptic, you should be there. Christopher Hitchens is going to be there. And this is most likely Trey and Matt from South Park are going to be at the amazing meeting this year. And I will be on stage. The Mythbusters, yeah. And I'll be Julia Sweeney. And I'll be on stage probably. Well, I'm doing my own hunk with Teller, but I'm also going to be interviewing Trey and Matt and taking questions from the audience. So if you want to know the point of view of the South Park boys, go to just check randy.org, randi.org. And that's where we're going to talk to Shane. And what's your problem, Shane?
Hey, yeah, my question is, I have a cousin. She's been kind of struggling with drug problems for a while, and she's an atheist. She tried to go NA and AA, and she has a big problem with the 12th. And she was kind of wondering, I'm in Northern California, Sacramento area, and she was wondering if there was an organization that she can go through that doesn't really rely so much on the God factor.
There was a group called Rational Recovery, which you have to be careful about because there's a Scientology group just like that. But you have to be very careful to make sure that if you go to one that's not AA, that it's also UBC, blah, 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 blah. Rational Recovery is right here. Let me just see if there's anything. Let me just do a search for Scientology and see. I think you want to start out with, yeah, Scientology is not found on that page. But sometimes they're really sneaky, so be careful. But I think I remember a while ago, I don't know. Those guys are probably the most cost-effective. Okay. Yeah, try. I'm not sure about this. Let's have someone call in with something on this. Keep listening to the show because somebody out there knows about getting sober without the 12-step program. We did a few things in the Bulls hit show. We covered a few people, but most of the people who are doing the atheist recovery stuff, it's really sad little groups. They don't get any sort of funding and stuff. Are you close to her? Do you live near her?
Yes, I am.
Well, you know, a lot of what you can do in that is just be a friend. I had a really good friend in the San Francisco area who was very, very addicted to alcohol. We know what the word addicted means, but used an awful lot of alcohol and drugs. And during the time that he wanted to kick, he just spent a lot of time with me and my friends. I mean, we're all completely sober. We were all up all hours of the day and night, and he would just hang out with me all the time. And one of the things you can do is just be there. One of the reasons AA works is just that you have someone to talk to 24 hours a day and someone to do stuff with that isn't alcohol and drug related. If you are that person and you have a group of friends, just do it like human beings. You know, don't go to the web, don't go to that, but just a bunch of your friends that really love your cousin and are all sober themselves or are willing to be sober when she needs them to be. Take her to movies, hang out, help her out. Just what is the most important to people is being helped by other people. So I would say instead of going to the web and doing a lot of research, do it yourself because there's no sort of medical secret. AA doesn't have any secrets. It's just people loving each other, don't you think?
Yeah, and you know the success rate in AA is not any higher than people quitting on their own.
Right.
Which is a little frightening. It's actually a little bit lower, but people are forced into it, so you can't really make that math leap.
Yeah.
But
so you probably can do it on your own.
There seems to be a Narcanon a program available worldwide. I found one in Sydney, one in Vancouver. A non-religious, non-profit program, so maybe there's something like that.
Yeah,
you can track
but I still think, you know, the first thing is she needs people that really, really love her, and it sounds like she's got that in you, and just do some work on it, man.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Thank you. I'll definitely. I've tried to kind of show that I'll be there for her and difficult times.
I think what you've got to do is maybe you dedicate the next year or so to every time you're going to see a movie, every time you're going out to dinner, every time your friends are hanging in a sober activity. You might want to just give her a jingle and invite her along because when she's with you, she won't be using.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Have a bunch of friends do that, man. Because if her social calendar is full, there won't be those times to be tempted. I mean, not so much have her fight it off, but just, you know, if you're inside the movie and you're sitting next to her, she's, you know, unless she's running to the bathroom all the time to do coke, she's going to be sober, and that'll be cool.
Awesome. Thank you very
much. Call her up. Go see movies. That's my advice to everything, incidentally, when you're talking to layperson Penn. 866-570-PEN, 7366. We have one line that's opened up. If you want to call in, get in there fast, and we'll get to you back after this. This is Penn Jillette, Michael Godeau, Free FM, CBS Radio. My clap sound okay? It's awful. It's like a Phil Collins track or something. It's just not rocking. I'm sorry. I can't snap my fingers. I can't snap my right hand to my left hand.
This might be a good time to learn.
I don't think you can learn. Can't after a certain point. It's like
an old dog.
No, it's like sentence structure. You know, if you're Casper Hauser, you can't learn how to structure sentences. You know those feral kids they find that don't learn language before they're like eight? I think it's the same thing with snapping your fingers. I just made that up, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
And all those kids that we find raised by wolves.
Yeah. Well, you know, there have been a few feral. I mean, Casper Hauser might have been fake. I always thought that'd be the greatest talk show in the world. You know, Casper Hauser was
MD.
Coast Jim.
I can lick that wound. Hold on, come here.
But you know who Casper Hauser is, right?
No.
A guy who stumbled into a city in Germany with no past, no language, no nothing. They knew nothing about him. And he became a fascinating character that all the doctors and everybody were interested in. You know that movie, which I didn't see, Jodie Foster, Nell? It was that kind of thing, the completely okay. feral person that's not raised by wolves, but raised without any human intervention. Or there's also been, you know, horrible child abuse where people are locked in a cellar for all that time. But my idea was for a talk show, was Casper Hauser as a talk show host. So you find somebody, you know, who is willing to host a talk show and has some talent. And the rule is, they can't read the paper, watch TV, or talk to anyone about current events at all. They can know nothing. No movies, no nothing. You know, they can be people that read all literature from the past. They make that choice. And you keep them there, and then you have them host like a Letterman show. So then you have people like Brad Pitt come out, and Casper Hauser goes, what do you do?
Nice.
I just thought it'd be great.
That's nice.
And ask questions. You know, Michael Jackson comes out, and you go, what's been happening with you? You know, and you get totally that point of view. I always thought the Casper House would be a great thing. We got a bunch of emails here, a bunch of them.
Narconon is Scientology.
Narconon is Scientology. Let me repeat that. Narconon is Scientology.
Yep.
It's a religious organization. Don't be fooled by that. But Amy, our good friend Amy, writes in and says, a friend married my husband and me. She is a notary. And so could marry us, all perfectly legal. I can imagine I or anyone willing to hone their public speaking skills could become a notary and set themselves up as a strictly atheist wedding officiant. It's a very interesting idea. That's what Amy weighs in on, Eric, to help you out there. And, of course, Natasha has to weigh in on everything. Natasha says, so if I got myself all official, do you think I could quit my day job to hustle atheist weddings? I do topless atheist weddings, says Natasha, who I think it would be harder to keep her top on. And, and then she's very excited we're going to be in an event with Mythbusters. Mythbusters. And she says, if you end up chatting with Adam from the show, pass along my naked pictures, phone numbers, anything else.
Wow.
Not the one with the big walrus mustache, the other one. The other one, the one that hurts himself so often. So I'll bring that up, Natasha, when I see him at TAM. I'll be your pimp. I'll be your Peter Lawford for your little personal rat pack, okay? What else we got? Let's talk to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on. What's up?
Yeah, Dr. Penn, I got an answer to you on the atheist.
Actually, it's layperson Penn, but go on.
Well, the Unitarian Universalists will do an atheist wedding. They're so liberal you don't even have to believe in God.
Okay, well, that's right, because the definition of Unitarian is they believe in one God at most, right?
At most, if you're lucky. One God, many gods, whatever you want to believe in.
Are you a Unitarian?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you believe you have a full-blown atheist in your congregation?
Oh, I am one.
You are one. And why do you subscribe to Unitarianism if you are an atheist?
Oh, it keeps me sober on Saturday night because I have to go to service in the morning.
Really? That's the reason?
Big part of it, yeah.
And
community.
Also, and are you a reverend there?
No, sir.
You just go as part of the community?
Yes, sir.
You know, that's a big problem a lot of atheists have is losing. A lot of your ex-Mormons have a big problem losing the community when they get rid of the religion and become atheists. So I'm all for this. It's just that Unitarian does still have that God thing a little bit. I wish
they have a multiple God thing. I mean, it is a bunch of liberal religious wackos. I got to admit that.
You know, when you use the word wacko, my heart just pumps with joy, you know. I automatically say, these are my people, you know. And they will. How do you know so much about them being willing to perform atheist services?
Because about the friends of mine are atheists at this congregation, and they had a blessing or kind of a joining together for their child and things like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. And it's all perfectly legal. So, Eric, if you're still listening, I'm not sure how I feel about it, but at least give a jingle to the Unitarians. Drop a quarter, see what they have to say, because that might be the answer to your problems. So thanks an awful lot for calling in, Mike.
I want to join a group that has pancake breakfasts.
Yeah, you know,
wouldn't that be great?
I think it'd be great. You know, we've talked about this.
Start doing pancake breakfasts, actually.
We've talked about two things. We've talked about the community of atheists and also atheist charities, because atheists give a lot of money to charity, huge amounts. But, you know, they don't ever do it in the name of atheism. You know, it's just done as individuals. So I think it'd be really nice to have, you know, atheist hospitals popping up here and there. We got to make, you and I have to make a lot more money. Of course, you making more, me making, yeah.
You could pay me a little more money.
That's what I was afraid it was going to
get
to.
I know.
I tried to cut that off right away.
We have a question from A. A, remember
I love A. I have such a crush on A.
I know.
Such a crush on
A. She wants to know, does anyone actually eat or enjoy the orange candy known as circus peanuts?
Oh, that's a good question.
My mother-in-law loves
circus peanuts. You're kidding
me. I am not kidding you. And my grandmother did, from Louisiana, like those orange circus peanuts.
Those big fat, not the candy.
No, the soft.
The big soft circus.
Icky. Oh,
that's awful stuff.
Well, you eat that bone candy.
Well, no, it's good. I like what is it called?
Bones.
Sponge candy. It's sponge candy. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. My mother-in-law claims it's meringue, but it's not meringue. It's a northeastern thing. You don't understand any northeastern things.
I don't understand many.
You hate that. You don't even like the baking soda aftertaste.
No.
I love that. But the
I'm not even that keen on real syrup.
What's that?
I'm not even that keen on real syrup.
You know, my wife's like that, too, and it breaks my heart. I like real syrup.
I know you
If
do.
You do your atheist breakfast, pancake breakfast.
I'll have both.
You have real syrup there?
I'll have real syrup.
Yeah, okay. Because that's also, if you're not going to use real maple syrup, at least use a fruit syrup. Don't go with the fake Karo stuff, okay?
Okay.
Please? You like the fake stuff, huh?
Well, I don't. My family does.
Olive loaf. Does anybody like olive loaf?
No.
Is there anybody ever that's liked olive loaf? Lately, I've been thinking a lot about olive loaf because I've been thinking that.
Lost about the Alicia Keys. You're done with Alicia Keys.
Done with about, I'm done with my Alicia Keys. If I were Bob Dylan, my new album, I've been thinking about olive loaf. olive loaf. You know, because Eddie Gorodetsky wrote a joke for Letterman that Letterman didn't want to do. And he pushed, which is a bad idea. He pushed his boss into a joke. And it was when Letterman, this is, you know, 15 years ago, when Letterman was doing Dial-its.
Yeah.
Remember Dial-a?
Yeah.
And he did Dial a Luncheon Meat That No One Likes. And Letterman dialed in and went, olive loaf. So, I didn't like olive loaf. But lately they were talking the other day about Sinatra's favorite food being fried bologna sandwiches on white bread with mustard. And how great that sounded to me. And I thought about how much I like olives and how much my daughter likes olives. And I was thinking, you know, isn't olive loaf just olives and bologna?
Yeah.
It's a bologna medium.
Pig snout and olives.
Yeah.
It fits right into those holes.
Bologna is just pig snouts, right?
As far as I know, yes.
Yeah. But bologna with olives in it seems like a fine taste treat that maybe I wasn't sophisticated enough for. Yeah. So I might be the kind of guy.
It's a sophistication question.
But this could also be my postum problem, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because every two or three years, I decide that I like postum, which is a barley flavored caffeine, it's caffeine free coffee substitute. It's whole grains substituting his coffee. And I think about that idea, and I go, that's a great idea. So I buy Postum, and then I tell all my friends I like Postum. And then when I go to restaurants that have Postum, which is very, you know, they have to serve.
You have a restaurant that has Postum?
I believe some of your diners have Postum. In little packets, like the Sanka. You know,
okay.
They've Postum. And I'll decide, hey, I like Postum. And then I try it, and I don't really like Postum. But if you wanted to say what kind of guy is Pendulette, the answer would be he's the kind of guy that thinks he should like Postum and olive loaf.
We wanted to pigeonhole you.
Are you allowed to fry up olive loaf?
I would assume so.
Yeah. But olive loaf
doesn't
is square.
Flame up or anything.
But I mean, is it a proper culinary treat? You know, what Teller loves is pork roll.
Well, yeah.
Fry up a pork roll. But I think bologna fried up pretty good. Let's talk to line four. What's your question, James?
Hello, Dr. Penn. How are you doing?
I was actually layperson, Penn, but go on.
Okay, my father-in-law loves olive loaf, just to let you know.
Who does? Who does?
My father-in-law.
Oh, great. Have you tried it?
Yes.
And you don't like it?
No.
Is it just bologna with olives floating in it as though bologna were a liquid?
I'll pass on that.
What do you mean? What does that pass on that mean? In this particular deposition, you refuse to answer the question? What's that?
I thought it was nasty. It didn't even taste like bologna. All I could taste was like the saltiness of the olive, and it wasn't even a good olive.
So it's a bad olive in bad bologna. That's your way. But your father, but your father-in-law loves it.
He loves it and head cheese.
Oh, head cheese! How cool do you have to be to like head cheese? I love your father-in-law. What's his background? What's his background?
He's Czech, actually. He's 100% Czech.
So is he first generation American?
Either first or second.
So, you know, Paul Provenza's mother and father are both from Italy. So on Christmas, they would have live eels in their bathtub. And his grandmother would cook disgusting stuff. That, you know, when you come from another country to the U.S., you eat wacky things. It's part of what you have to do to amuse the people that already live here. I've told you about this before. I wanted to do a TV special that was called... Asians are people in the disgusting food that they eat. I just think that, head cheese is amazing and tripe is amazing. You like tripe, you know?
It's okay. It's not my favorite, but it's okay.
I'm part Mexican and, menudo is a big deal in our culture here.
Do you like menudo?
No.
No menudo, no head cheese. I would love to just be able to send out the Penn and Teller rider and have it say at the beginning, the bottom, you know, caffeine free Diet Coke, caffeine free tea, various sodas, half pound of head cheese. I mean, that would be so much hipper than Van Halen with the no green M&Ms, you know? But what was your question?
Well, I was going to take my wife out to dinner tomorrow night, and we were talking about going to the zoo. We're from Chicago here. Brookfield Zoo. I don't know if you heard of it. Big zoo.
Yeah.
Great monkey house, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you'll be calling in another day with another story, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Well, the question is, they sell, during the wintertime, they sell peppermint patties throughout the zoo.
Oh, yeah, they're so stations. Good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Not the candy.
I know. I love peppermint patties.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't drink.
Oh,
what,
no.
What are you talking about?
Peppermint patty. It's hot chocolate with peppermint snap.
Oh, no. I didn't mean that. I thought you were talking about the peppermint patties, the chocolate-covered things.
That's what I meant, not the candy.
Not the candy. Okay.
They sell the drinks throughout the park, so we were just wondering, should we go into... the monkey house loaded on peppermint tea.
Absolutely. I'm against drinking, but if you want to get drunk around monkeys, please. I want you so faced that they can't tell you from the monkeys. Please. I want you to have, how many of those can you drink?
I could drink about, about maybe five or six.
I double dog dare you to drink seven. I double dog dare you to drink seven and go to the monkey house. We'll get a call from him later. This is Penn Jillette on the Free FM CBS Radio.
Let it go.
This is Penn Jillette, Mike. No,
get Patrick to play a tape of you snapping.
I love that someone wrote in. And Katie said that I might be the first person in history to utter the phrase, as if bologna were liquid. I have some very nice Gmails. Anyway, let me just get the number. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. 866-570-PEN. It's Ask Layperson Penn. We'll talk about anything. Maybe every one of our shows should be Ask Layperson Penn. Screw it. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. I mean, who gives a damn? You know, we're not going to reach a broader audience. The people that like our show are going to like it. We're not going to bring anybody else on. We're not going to lose anybody. Just damn them all to hell. Let's just do whatever show we want.
What we want to do.
Here we have a little letter from our good friend Nina, who's written in. Subject is forbidden circus peanuts. Growing up, my mother refused to buy my brother and I, Growing up, my mother refused to buy my brother and I circus peanuts because, according to her, quote, only white trash fed their children circus peanuts. She's also put it in quotes and then changed the tense. But let's not bust her on this.
A little late on that, don't you think?
This principle, spelled improperly, incidentally, this principle also holds to sweetened cereals and Kool-Aid. I think if you write the wrong principle, change your tense inside a quote, and use me and I improperly, You are white trash, Nina.
Go with the peanuts.
The principle also holds to sweetened cereals and Kool-Aid. I think Lance Burton would have, like, Kool-Aid for breakfast when he grew up. You know, Lance
we were at Lance's this great new house, yeah. You know, and we were over there, and he's got all these really fancy, expensive glass cabinets,
yeah.
So you can see the things that are in there. Yeah. It's all marshmallows.
Yeah, but doesn't Lance, like, have Kool-Aid for breakfast?
Yeah.
Yeah. In college... Nina. When I went in college, I went on a low-fat diet, successful till my hair started to fall out. I practically lived off circus peanuts. That's my 2 cents. Thanks. That's Nina, and she's a administrative assistant at a design firm, and probably craving circus peanuts right now.
Well, you know, we have another good circus peanut one, and this is Sue. Sue writes us pretty often too. She says circus peanuts make great Halloween decorations. Set them out like fingers with red or black jelly bean fingernails cut and pressed on.
We're becoming Halloween's for whack jobs, aren't we?
Exactly.
That's another show we could do. Halloween's for whack jobs. We'll do that in October. Halloween's for whack jobs. Let's talk to Pam. What's up, Pam?
Hi, Penn. Dr. Penn, I have a couple confessions for you.
Oh, good, good.
I love circus peanuts. I have some in the kitchen as we speak.
When you say that, it's so sexy, Pam.
I love them.
Now, is your background white trash?
It is not. It is not. But I don't remember having them as a child.
Okay.
It was something I discovered on my own.
Yeah.
You saw those at a store and decided to buy them.
Yeah, what made you how'd you discover those?
I'm gonna go with maybe a friend. I'm gonna go with a white trash friend. Let's go with that.
Sure.
Yeah. I also sent in yesterday Chick Dig Scars, so I am a girl. Good.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Well, my thumb's looking really good, baby. Really good.
I bet it is. And I have a question for you.
Shoot.
On Identity, your hair was so shiny and gorgeous. What did they put on your hair? I had dark brown curly hair, and it never looks that shiny and gorgeous no matter what I do.
First of all, the makeup person that I have on Identity, the makeup and hair person that I have, the woman that I have for that, is the only person to ever have done Jerry Lewis's makeup. Jerry Lewis did his own makeup until 15 years ago, and then she took over. The first person to make up for Jerry. And she also does Howie, which I guess wouldn't help you much with the hair products.
No.
And she also does Saget. Okay, she does the big money game shows. And I think it was not so much her as it was me. For all of Bull's hit and for the live show, I won't let them put garbage in my hair. I fought it like crazy. When I go on Bill Maher and stuff, I say as little makeup as possible, don't put stuff in my hair. Mm-hmm. When I do the live show, my hair is always falling out and stuff. But I told her, because NBC was paying me plenty of money, I said to her, you can do whatever you want to my hair. Whatever you want, you can just do. So for the first time ever, I allowed a person to do their job. I'm usually taking control myself, and she went through and combed my hair out completely and then put all sorts of garbage in it. So when I went out there, it was filled with like stuff like punks used to do mohawks, except it was down in the clear thing. I think that the whole thing is don't try to have your hair be natural at all. What I said to her was, if you'd like to use my hair to make a hat, feel free to do that. She made a hat. And I've also got this little space in the top of my head that I've had my whole life. It's a little bit of a crevice there in my hair that's kind of like a part. I let her fill that in with like whatever she uses, shoe polish or
spackle.
Something. Spackle. What I should have used on my thumb. Spackle is a wonderful word, incidentally, right along with olive loaf. But
my mother likes olive loaf too, but go ahead.
Your mother likes olive loaf?
Yes, she does.
Yeah, we just found out this. Now, get this. Amy, our friend Amy, wrote in and said there's also macaroni and cheese loaf. Mac and cheese suspended in bologna, as if bologna were liquid. I've only ever seen this in Maine. It looks gross. And you found the mac and cheese page, didn't you get them?
I did. There are a lot of them. It looks terrific.
No.
Finely ground pork and beef with generous quantities of cheddar cheese and macaroni distributed throughout.
That's a little bit of heaven, isn't it? That's disgusting to you, Pam?
Yes.
Okay, so you like my scar, you like my hair on Identity,
yes.
You like circus peanuts, but you don't like macaroni and cheese loaf.
No.
I can live with all that, Pam. I still love you.
Fabulous.
Okay,
fabulous.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Next time I'm on Identity, I'll pay attention to what product they're putting in my hair. Did you think my hair looked good on Identity?
I thought your hair looked good, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I've been, I went to, we had the makeup woman for Bull's hit, you know, Phyllis, yeah. And we had her again, and this time I let her do whatever she wanted to my hair, and it worked out a lot better. So she's been fighting me now, this poor woman, for 7 years. And finally, you know, big NBC comes in and whoops me. And now I'm just like her bitch. I just go, do whatever you want to my hair. Just put it. So from now on, season 5 of Bull's Hit, when we're going to be doing nuclear power, Walmart, lots of cool stuff. I say those on purpose. People think we're on the opposite side over on. You'll be seeing my hair look a lot better. So for people like Pam who called in, get ready for the ride of your life, because Penn's hair is going to look good this year. And I'm going to be eating macaroni and cheese loaf and
I'm writing that into the next
olive loaf. We have to have those. I didn't even know there was that kind of stuff happening there. And Amy sent a question. She said she sent to you a long time ago. I guess I can't skim it now, but you have to send it in next time, Amy, because I haven't got time to skim it right now. I'm going to take another phone call. Let's talk to, you know what the thing is, we'll talk to the layperson, Penn. We get a lot of women calling. I like that. Hey, Sharon.
Yes.
What's up?
Hello, may I speak with the doctor?
Well, actually, Sharon. It's not doctor, layperson, Penn, but go on, okay. Sharon.
Thank you, sir. I'm calling with a free spirit and NRP for the vets. That's no religious preference. I know you're game for spiritual games, and I wanted to ask if you had played one that I have come upon recently.
What's that?
Yes, sir. It's the Be More birthday game. It's also called the Garden Game. Be More is for Baltimore. A man told me about a month ago to take my birthday. Mine personally is 4/11, and go through the Bible from Genesis to Exodus and find every book, every fourth chapter for my birthday, 11th verse, again, for my birthday, and read it as a story unto myself. And then the spiritual game kind of folds it into itself, because then you can play, of course, your kids' birthdays and
sure.
times.
Sure. It's a form of numerology, right? I mean, are you saying there's any sort of validity to this, or are you...
No, sir.
Just saying for fun. I'm trying to find the Bible online here. Here's Bible online.
Well, first
online.
I'm trying to ask you, personally, have you ever heard of such a game? Because I figure you're kind of big on that.
No, I haven't heard about this. I'll know about it more in a little while, but I'm going through and trying to find a concordance of the Bible. Can you find that, Godot? And look up what 3:5 is, which is what the third chapter and fifth verse, the fifth verse of the third chapter is on different books, and we'll find out what my story is. I'll look into that more, Sharon. Thanks an awful lot. I'm going to close it up a little bit coming to the end of the show. Have you found any of the Bible stuff?
We have Bible.com.
Yeah, I'm on Bible.com, but is there the actual Bible there?
It doesn't seem to be searchable. Very
it's not. Searchable
a lot of veggie tales
of the Bible here.
You wanted the Bible. What we got instead was Veggie Tales.
Well, Veggie Tales is the Bible. You
yes,
know that.
I do
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you do know that. And let me see. Okay,
I knew that because they had a sing along on one of their shows, and all the words were misspelled.
They had a sing along
down the vegetable aisle was spelled like island.
Oh, really?
Things like
really?
That. She went, well, who wrote this? Let me check this. Okay.
Now, where is the whole Bible?
It's
I want to find. We've got there. The Bible is on the web. Don't be a fool.
It's not on Bible.com.
People have typed it in from memory. There is the Turkish Bible, English, Audio Bible, Blue Letter Bible. American Standard Version, King James Version. There we go. I got the Bible online. We only got a few seconds. I got to find out what 3:5 is. Genesis, the third chapter, the fifth verse. This sums up Penn Jillette. For God doth know that in the day ye eat, therefore, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. Nothing sums up Penn Jillette more than Genesis 3. Verse 5. Hey, have a good weekend. Have a good time. Stop thinking about Alicia Keys. Start thinking about macaroni and cheese loaf and olive loaf. And listen, I want to hear someone write to us who loves Postum. I think maybe I like Postum. I'm a Postum loving guy.